Mics are live.
Good morning. It is 9:04 a.m. on Friday, March 2nd, 2018. This is a work session of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I am Randy Christman, the chairman. With me are Commissioners Brian Krosius and Julie Fedorchak. And this is the what we sometimes refer to as the NSP Resource Treatment Framework case, but it involves case numbers. These are all PU-something, and so they are PU-12-813, 13-706, 13-707, 13-708, 13-742, 13-743, 13194, 13195, and 15-96. I don't have any opening comments. This would be Commissioner Krosius's portfolio, I believe. So, Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any opening?
Well, I don't really, except that maybe after Brian kicks it off, I think I was one that requested this session, so I can kind of explain why I did that.
Okay, Commissioner Krosius.
All right. Well, just to give a quick back, you know, a little bit of background on this, of course, we had the informal hearing where we spent a lot of time talking about legal separation. Staff had work on exploring that option. Our consultant that we hired looked at that option, and then the company, of course, was looking at that option as well. And through the course of that informal hearing, my impression was that there wasn't a lot of appetite to move forward and look at that any further. So then we had two options. One was still on the table, or several options. One would include pseudo-separation, exploring that, and then the other would be to do nothing, in effect, just to cut to the chase and to close the case and continue moving forward as we have in the past. So leading up to, in terms of trying to create a level of clarity, had drawn up a motion to that was actually not to close the case outright, but it was notice of intent to close the case. And the reason I thought that was a good approach, and I still think it's a good approach, is that it gives the company 30 days to say, wait a second, we don't want to just have this closed. We'd like to continue to pursue pseudo-separation. But during the informal hearing, I really didn't get a strong sense that there was a real level of interest in doing that. But to be safe, that's why it wasn't just to close the case. It was notice of intent to close the case, which again would give the company 30 days to say, hey, we want to take a look at pseudo-separation. And, you know, just a couple of bullet points under that. One would be, you know, obviously I want to be considerate of time and resources. We don't want to just, you know, go down a path unless there's an actual desire. But I had a meeting with staff, and I kept asking the question, you know, from a North Dakota ratepayer perspective, what are the benefits to pursuing, or I shouldn't necessarily call it pursuing, but to evaluating pseudo-separation? And I just did not get an answer from anyone that said, no, well, here's the benefit of doing that from a North Dakota ratepayer perspective. So kept asking those questions as we had met. And then finally, staff, obviously, on our end, was looking for direction as well in terms of where do we go from here. So I thought the best way was to give the company an opportunity to say, no, we would like to try and make our case for pseudo-separation versus just automatically assuming that it would be, well, we'll just close the case and continue on. You know, a couple other points worth mentioning. The company has the opportunity to restructure as they see fit. At any time, we have another utility doing that currently. So that option is not off the table for them. That's something that they can certainly certainly do, regardless of the commission. The other point, they still have the ADP process in place to get a good handle on whether or not a resource and cost associated with a resource will or will not be accepted by the commission. And again, this, as we know, has been one of the issues in terms of trying to get rate recovery for resources that are tied to the Minnesota Renewable Mandate, which some have been declined by the commission. So it just seemed like, excuse me, a good route to go to provide clarity, to really get a handle on the appetite that NSP has, the company has, to pursue this, or to find out that they don't. So really we're not closing the door on anything. Necessarily, I think this is a good way to define and know what their desire is. So it takes assumptions off the table. You know, to close the case assumes that they don't have an interest. To just automatically jump to pseudo-separation is also assuming that to some extent that that's a direction we should go. And again, if I had gotten anything from my meeting with staff, and actually several meetings that indicated that this creates a new tool that's missing, or that this is of benefit to North Dakota ratepayers, I would have looked at it entirely differently. So really it's giving the company that opportunity. Is this something you even want to pursue before we spend a lot of time and resources on both ends doing it?
Well, I appreciate that perspective, because that's what was lacking in the motion that just came up on the agenda without kind of knowing what was driving it. So that's why I was uncomfortable taking action on that in our meeting this week, so we could have a chance to discuss a little bit. In the informal, I guess I left with a different impression from the company and advocacy staff, in that it felt to me like separation had been put off the table, and that was like, okay, it was clear we weren't interested in that. Advocacy staff isn't interested in that. And I think the company got that message and seemed very open to the pseudo-separation, which is really just the creation of some additional tools and some clarity. So to me, we've got so much that's been generated and so much good discussion that's occurring on issues that we know exist. These aren't going away. To close, to shut that down now, or it seems odd. So I'm not interested in shutting it down now. I think we need to keep working through this and figure out a better path. But do we need to somehow clear the deck and start over with pseudo separation, or do we have enough in everything that's been filed already to just keep to use all of that and work through it? I don't know the format. I don't know, you know, I don't think anybody does. I think we're all sort of trying to figure out the procedures as we go. But we've got a few key things on the table. What are we going to do with IRP? How are we going to use that in the future to improve the advanced planning? The company was clear, I think, in our informal, that the ADP process doesn't work. It's too late. And so I think it's our, you know, we're obligated to the ratepayers to hear the companies when they're making those points too. Maybe it is, you know, in the best short-term interest of the ratepayers to continue with that process. But when the company that's regulated is sounding some concerns like this doesn't work for us long term, then I think we need to listen and try to recognize what can be done to protect both the ratepayers and the long term strength and stability of the company. So we've got the IRP process. What can we do with that to make the ADP process, you know, to supplement that? What are we going to do with the disputed resources? A lot of them have been addressed, but let's go through each of them and figure out what's going to happen with those. And then long-term, what are the tools to address future disputed resources that don't exist today that can provide clarity to us and more effective planning for the company? So those are the things that I think we have to somehow get to the bottom of, whether it's through this process or if I'm wrong and there needs to be a closure of this process and a creation of new one, that happening, whatever that is. So I guess I'm interested from staff from advisory staff, what do you see as the best path forward?
I could talk a little bit. This proceeding has kind of turned into a mess. First thing I'd like to do is get rid of all those cases. There's a whole list of things in there that they're really already resolved, except for this case was tagged into that rate case, and I'd like to see all that go away. We have a rate case coming. They're in a rate moratorium now, I think, through next year sometime. And so I'm expecting next year to be a rate case. And we've got several projects that, frankly, could be disallowed. We've declined to give ADPs on the solar projects and the Mankato project. And if during that rate case there comes some kind of a not accepting those projects, then we should be taking a look at what that does for our capacity situation and seeing if somehow or other we're short on capacity because of those disallowances. If not, well, then I don't think we have anything to worry about with them. I mean, we'd be covering our ends, and we kind of got a pseudo-separation already. The IRP process, you know, I've kind of advocated for some changes there.
Before you go to that, Jerry,
yep,
and let's hold that because I'm really interested in your thoughts on the IRP. If we just solve these through the rate cases, then it's likely that the company has some resources that are not fully covered, right? They're stranded, or whatever we call those.
You know,
The more I think about this, I mean, it started out as kind of our issue, but as we have more conversations and dig into this a little deeper, it is becoming more clear to me that this is also a critical point for the company's conversations with the other states to be able to get them to recognize, like, you guys, there's a difference here, and you need to acknowledge this difference as well and recognize that states like North Dakota, who don't have mandates, don't believe in them, aren't going to pay for this stuff, so you need to be prepared to do that. And that is really valuable, in my opinion. And so it started out as being kind of our thing and maybe, like, look, separate North Dakota off. And it has evolved into, I think, what could be a better agreement between all of the states that this company works in as to what their responsibility is when there's mandates given. So outside of, if we just handle this through the rate cases, I don't think that is as, I don't think there's as strong of a recognition that the company's kind of asking the states to take for that very thing.
I think it gives a strong signal that we're not paying for it. I mean, and then it's...
Right, and what's what Minnesota has done in the past is said, well, we're not either.
Well, they're going to have to change.
And this is just a little bit more of a strategic advance discussion about some of this stuff that provides, in my opinion, more clarity and thoughtfulness that this is how we're going to solve these issues moving forward.
And, yeah, it is a problem. On the other side of it, the company is free to allocate those things to Minnesota. And then they can fight with it in Minnesota as to, and I don't see how Minnesota's got any feet to stand on saying that they're not paying for it. If, I mean, those are all to serve their loads, and we could think not ours, and so it becomes kind of a pseudo-separation.
Is there anything wrong with trying to come up with an agreement on that ahead of time, though? I mean,
I'm for it if that's what you guys want to do. I mean,
I think it continues to go back, though. What additional tool do we gain? And this motion will either provide a point of clarity. Well, it will provide a point of clarity on what the company really wants going forward after, I'm not talking about what they wanted or were hoping for maybe several months ago, but through the course of the conversations where we're at today. Now, if they, within the 30-day period, come back to us and say, hey, we want to look at this. Okay, I think that's a very, very important point of clarity.
But we've already got that. They said that in the informal.
I don't think we have it. I don't have that personally. I didn't get that impression on the pseudo-separation part that was. It was, I think there was a willingness to pursue it, but was it a strong desire? To me, that's where I...
Well, I felt that they, in this, that we left it as the advocacy staff and them were going to work together on that issue and get back to us with some recommendations.
Well,
but
if that's the way it comes back, I'm not, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they came back and said, hey, we want to look at pseudo-separation, but I'd also, I think it's speculative to some degree as well, because that conversation, a lot of, you know, at the beginning of that informal hearing, we were talking about legal separation. Obviously, a lot of time had been spent on it all the way around. And I think they walked away possibly with a different impression of where everything was at.
So when we started all this, I don't even remember the initial dates of it, but a long time ago, and I don't think it was totally a waste. You know, I learned a lot from all this process, what possibilities there are. It's easy to talk big a few years ago. I should just separate the whole thing. We'll have, you know, our own segment of the company and Minnesota can have theirs or whatever. But then you see all the problems associated with that. So now we're at this point. I kind of like this strategy of signaling an intent to close and they can respond. When we're talking pseudo-separation, I feel like we found some term that we can throw out there to that's vague enough that everybody is still comfortable and we can buy some more time. I don't know what pseudo-separation is. This would give the company some time if they think they have an idea that's workable other than a vague term, then they can respond to this and say, we want to continue on and let us know what the possibility is. Because clearly, I think, I'm sensing we all agree that a complete legal separation is not a positive option. I personally think the end result is that the problem that is being experienced is that one jurisdiction says no to some things, the other jurisdiction says you have to do it this way, and we're not paying the full cost, charge that other jurisdiction that says no, and they're caught in a quandary, and they want us to come up with a solution when the solution is for them to appeal the decisions in court and see which state is either mandating something inappropriately or denying recovery inappropriately. And they haven't even explored all the options that are available in what I think of as a normal scenario for a regulated utility. And until all those options are explored and it turns out that somehow the court system doesn't work or something like that, and I don't know how we can reach that conclusion at this point that the appeals process is unworkable.
And who pays for that? All of that legal costs of taking cases to court and appealing, and who pays for all that?
The ratepayers do, but
yeah.
Until...
That seems a waste of money to me.
Well,
I mean,
that's kind of an unavoidable cost. We can say all we want that we're not paying for these certain projects, and the state that is demanding them has to pay for it. But when they sit there and say, you have to build it, and we're not paying all of it, the whole company area has to pay it, we can come up with a pseudo plan and an IRP plan and all this, but if at the end the jurisdictions come up with different answers in their regulatory process, it's going to end up in court anyway.
But we haven't even tried that yet. I mean, that's what we're trying. That's what this is. And there is a ton of information in this material about pseudo-separation. That's not, I mean, to me, there is plenty that's been written and responded to by the company and the advocacy staff on pseudo-separation that both entities could be sitting down and talking about, okay, the commission has an appetite for this. We have an appetite for it. What does it mean? And they could come back to us with a proposal. But if we want to take the action of intent to close, and then, which to me just is an unnecessary step, but if we want to do that and give them 30 days and then have them respond to that then and create a different process for that, I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with it. It just seems unnecessary to me. It seems like the parties could be already going down that path and getting back to us with some proposals, which if we don't like them, we can reject them in the end. But to me, we've come this far and there's been that much information. I just don't think it's very responsible to at this point say, we can't figure this all out, so we're going to just leave it up to the courts to decide this when we know there are issues that there are differences between the states and there's some proposals to try to address them. I just don't think that's in the best interest of the ratepayers to go down that path. But
well, we're spending a lot of money already, and we've spent a lot of money already that ratepayers will be impacted with. And anytime we explore anything, you know, ultimately there's an impact when we're working with a company on any type of thing. So I think it's an important point of clarity, and they may come back the next day and say, you know what, we want to look at pseudo-separation. But what if they don't? And then we just assume that, well, we should continue down this path. And again, if I had anything that was tangible in terms of there's a potential benefit to North Dakota ratepayers, I wouldn't be looking at this approach.
Well, there is a viable company that can that is strong and has some clarity in terms of how it's going to develop resources moving forward, recognizing that they exist in three states.
Well,
I mean, that has got huge benefits to ratepayers.
You know, I don't have it handy, but obviously when we looked at the consultant's analysis of the legal separation part and then pseudo-separation, somewhere in between that and doing nothing, they were very critical.
Not of pseudo-separation.
Of legal separation. And I think pseudo-separation is a very gray area. Again, you know, are we doing all of this? And I think the answer is we've been trying to work, you know, we were willing to explore. Let's try and look at something that may be beneficial to both parties because of a problem, as Commissioner Christman stated, is originating out of Minnesota in so many ways with the renewable mandate. And, you know, some of these decisions were, you know, clearly made before I was on board, but I agree with them in terms of denying recovery. So are we doing all of these things to try and solve a problem that resides, it exists in another state? And I can appreciate, I think I said it during the informal, they're in a tough spot, the company is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a challenging spot for them to be in. You know, I can't even imagine, you know, the challenges it creates. But, you know, we're not taking anything off the table if they say, nope, we want to continue looking at it. But
well, really, the question today is whether we need that
otherwise
or not.
Right. Otherwise,
I mean, if you both think we need it, then we should vote on that as soon as possible. I think personally today, both parties could talk and make plans to talk next week and come forward with a, you know, yes, we want to do this, you know, we want to have talks on pseudo separation or, you know, no, we don't. I mean, I don't think they need us to ask them for that. But if you guys want to do that, then we should start that process so we can get it rolling. I personally, I just think it's unnecessary.
Seems to me it gives the chance to kind of reset the table, get a bunch of stuff clearly off consideration, and the company a chance to refine what their pseudo-separation plan is a little bit and what it is they're asking us to consider.
Yep. It's fine. I would like that. I think a negotiated discussion between the company and staff would get to that same point. It would allow our advocacy staff to help direct that some, but it can, you know, certainly be parties responding to each other as well.
I think, and advocacy staff at the informal hearing said, we'd kind of like it if the issues could be narrowed a bit, if the commission could think of a way to narrow the issues. And, you know, there's a broad range of ways to do that. You could let both advocacy staff and the company just continue on forward studying all the issues.
But we clearly said we're not interested in legal separation. Mm-hmm. That was over.
Okay.
I mean, that could not have been more clear in that informal. So that helps get that off the table, and I really hope all the parties aren't sitting there thinking that that's still a viable option. Okay. Nobody was interested in that. So otherwise, the informal was a waste of time.
So then the question is, do you want to narrow the issues any further?
I thought the issues were narrowed to pseudo-separation quite clearly. Proxy pricing didn't even seem like that was a real viable thing, but that could be a tool within pseudo-separation that they could consider. I don't know. What else would you narrow, Pat?
I'm just wondering if the commission wants to narrow it any further. And I'm not saying that. I'm thinking, you know, we always err on the side of getting all the information that we can. And one of the things that this notice of intent does is, what if the company thinks that they still want to pursue legal separation? What if they do? They should tell the commission that they do. And I was hoping that's what they would do at the informal. That was what the informal was all about, was to find out if, you know, how the company wants to go forward, how does advocacy staff want to go forward, and maybe the commission would give some guidance on how to go forward. And so we haven't, I mean, we have informally given them guidance, but nothing formal. If you do the notice of intent, they will tell us that whether or not they still want to pursue legal separation. I think they should. So
they should tell us.
I think they should tell us. Right. I think they should tell us whether they want to pursue that, or continue to pursue that or not, when they comment on in this 30 days. We can just we could say nothing. We should not, I mean, and let them go forward and just study all the possibilities. And I don't think going forward, I don't think the company must disregard legal separation unless we tell them to disregard it. They always have the option to come back to the commission and talk about legal separation. So what that means is that advocacy staff is going to have to analyze legal separation to the, you know, until we get to the hearing.
Well, then the informal was a total waste of time.
Yeah, that informal, in my view, was for the company and advocacy staff to convince the commission on the path forward.
At the beginning and throughout the informal, it seemed the company was and the advocacy staff was asking for direction, and I'm interested in going back because I must have been in a different meeting. I thought it was extremely clear that legal separation was not something that we were interested in pursuing, any of the parties. Mm-hmm. But
it was clear.
Well, then why do we need another process to clarify that?
What we need is what they're looking for is direction. They were supposed to come to the informal and give, you know, make their pitch about the direction they would like this proceeding to go. And so now, after that, does the commission want to decide on the direction it should go? I think Commissioner Christman asked for some kind of do we need a formal motion here on how this should go forward? And then in the end, after all the discussion, then the commissioners decided that Commissioner Crosses should bring something forward.
Well, maybe my problem is I don't like the idea of closing it because I think that we've got some good conversations going and some good potential solutions on the table, and I don't want the company or advocacy staff to say, yeah, let's just close it and keep it status quo with what we've got. So, that is an option if we throw that intent to close out there, that everything just stops.
One thing I think that only the company knows that we don't know and advocacy staff doesn't know is what their conversations are with the other jurisdictions. And so getting our direction is one thing as far as building a potential pseudo-separation, which I hate the term because I just think it's so vague. But this motion, I guess I lost track of which pile it's on, but this motion to signal the intent to close allows us to find out from them whether what they're hearing in the other jurisdictions, if this is a hopeless thing anyway and there's just no sense going on with it, is this just North Dakota's idea? And it's never any kind of pseudo-separation that we would find appealing is going to fall flat on its face elsewhere anyway. The company probably knows that. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for I found the date here now, March 9th of 2016. So we're a week short of a year, of two years. That this has been going on. I think playing this out and issuing this intent and letting them have the whatever number of days, I suppose, since we didn't do this at the last meeting, we'd have to have a different date than March 30th. Or I don't know how March 30th was arrived at, if that's
it's just arbitrary
number of days, but what, you know, a month, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I think it gives them a good chance to reset the table here.
Could we talk for just a second about what is pseudo-separation? It started out.
Hold on.
Okay.
I think that it's advocacy staff and the company will testify to that. And I don't know that we should jump in there yet.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of discussion on it.
And there's a lot of testimony.
In the materials on pseudo-separation. Jerry, you were going to make some comments about the IRP process.
If we get out of this docket, we can still pursue the IRP, because we have cases on IRP when they're filed. And if we wanted to, we could come out of that IRP proceeding with some directions for them on IRP. And there's been talk about, well, we don't have money. We'd have to do some changes at the legislature to get a filing fee on IRPs. But I had an idea, and that would be, what if we did require an action plan at the end of the IRP in an appendix-type form, and then gave them an ADP for that action plan? So then the IRP becomes part of the ADP process, and I think that we can get money for filing fees for the whole thing. And it's just kind of a different way of thinking about it. And instead of giving an absolute approval on the action plans like I'd advocated before, just give an ADP on them, which is pretty much an approval.
I appreciate the thinking outside the box and bringing that idea. I find it intriguing to ask you more stuff about, more questions about. But that's not what we call this work session about. This really isn't about our IRP process or lack of a funding source to do a decent IRP process. So I think we're kind of straying off the
work session. But I don't think we're straying too far, because...
But the company has heard that is an issue, so if we proceeded with this motion and they want to weave a better consideration from North Dakota into the IRP process, into whatever is going to turn out to be a pseudo-separation, if that happens.
The IRP process is for us to determine. That's our process.
Right
now, we don't have one, really. We just, they're sitting on our shelves, and we look at them and maybe sometimes have conversations about them, but not consistently. So that's for us to figure out what we want to have our IRP process to be about. And I think that's is central to this this case. But we aren't going to solve it right here, right now. I'm not sure how we solve that, but I think that we could use this case as the starting point for coming up with a better IRP process.
That is something that I think merits its own work session at some point, to figure out what we want to change in an IRP process. And
see, but I see it as this could be our first one, just an NSP IRP process for this company that helps resolve some of these issues.
But we have to figure how we're going to do that.
Yeah, we have to be able to talk about it to do that.
Which is, I think, a good cause for a work session.
But it would be part of this case, so it has to be tied to this case if we're going to do that. We can do it in a different work session, but I think it would be, I'd be interested in what advocacy staff has to say about the IRP process as it relates to this and how it could be better. Because consultants have talked some about that in what they're proposing in their solution as well. So not a ton, but some.
So I agree that the IRP is part of this process. But if we closed this, we could do the IRP, and it has a different case number, and we could do it in that case, too.
Does the IRP process have a case number associated with this?
Not the process. They're filing.
Okay.
Their last IRP filing.
Is part of this?
It's not, but we have a case with when they filed that, and we could do something in that case and actually look at that plan.
Mm-hmm.
but it does relate to this, because it gives you a way to determine which projects should go forward.
Right.
And what if Minnesota didn't agree with what we decided?
You know, that is the central issue in this whole case.
Exactly.
And there's always been, it's always been out there. The multi-jurisdictional utilities have to please three or four different states, and what if they can't? And it becomes an issue. One of the things that was thought of was to have some kind of a board where each state commission has a representative on it, and then the IRP gets evaluated in that board, and then each state gets a vote, or maybe you can weight the votes or something, but it has to pass that board.
Well, there again, it's easy for us to sit around and come up with these plans, but
well, it won't
I would
work.
Say it's pretty safe to say
it won't work
that
in this
Dakota
one.
Would not go into there if the in on that plan if the votes were weighted according to the amount of customers
yep.
or something in each state because yep. we're just going to lose
yep.
and Minnesota is not going to give us an equal vote and
yep.
so
it's not a practical solution. I only brought it out there to tell you know that this has been ongoing for years and years and years and they've had different solutions on it and it's just not an easy question to answer, but the traditional regulatory model addresses it. We got all the tools that we need to straighten it out.
Well, as much as I like the traditional regulatory model, I'm feeling like we've, mm-hmm. stay the course. I think we've got enough evidence now that some tweaks need to be made to that. And maybe, the proposed solution is laid out in Heidel's testimony that combines a lot of the stuff we've talked about today even. And I don't know, it doesn't feel like we're that far from having some potential resolution that could be taken, figured out here, taken to Minnesota, and if they say, yeah, that seems reasonable, then we've got a more clear path forward that saves everybody time and money. But,
and as I said earlier, I'm guessing the company has probably by now some idea whether Heidel or Heidel's ideas are anything that's even worth further discussion in Minnesota or not.
Right. And he quotes their ideas, too, so he's not that far off from what they're saying.
I think this motion is workable and gives them a chance to refine this a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll probably not vote for it because I don't like the idea of closing the case. But that said, I'm all for the clarity of... if the company comes back and says, this is what we want and that's what we get from it, that's great. I just don't want to leave the impression that I think that I have any intent to close the case. And I think an emotion that says intent to close, I can't get away from that being like a vote in favor of that means that that's what I want and I don't. So that's where I'm at on that motion.
So I guess where we're at now is that it's Brian's portfolio. So do you want us to bring that motion?
I do, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, and again, I don't have any preconceived notions on how this is going to play out, but I want points of clarity so we can move forward efficiently. And I think this accomplishes that.
Okay, we're wrapped up. We have to reconvene here in about 10 minutes for another work session on that tax issue with grain licensees.